League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
Turn it up! Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com.
From the Veritex. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN.
Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Advantage BMW in Midtown. That's where you go to seek performance and find luxury. At Advantage BMW in Midtown, you experience premier service. I know it. I've experienced it. Excellence at Advantage BMW in Midtown isn't just offered. It is expected. All right. I've had sedans here. I bought. I've leased. I'm in an X5 now. The expert sales team, all you got to do is go in there and talk to them. They can help you find the perfect new certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. Discover something special. Discover your hometown Advantage at San Jacinto and Gray or at AdvantageBMWHouston.com. That's Advantage BMW. Remember, it is in Midtown. Go down there and say hello to Justin and Steven. All right, the next interview, newest signing for the Houston Dynamo. They've gotten a hard man at the center back position. Eric Svechenko has played for both FC Midtjylland in Denmark and, of course, at legendary Celtic in Scotland under Brendan Rodgers. Here's my interview with Eric. Well, Eric, thank you very much for joining us tonight here. A lot of fans in Houston very excited about your arrival. I just want to start with your time playing at Midtjylland. I know you had two spells there with Celtic in between, but give us a little insight to the size of the club of Midtjylland, the Danish Super League, and kind of let my listeners in on Danish football.
I'll try to sum it up as easily as I can. So FC Midtjylland is a fairly new club. It was founded in 1999. So it's around 20 years old, but within that 20 years, we have achieved, the club has achieved so many things, lots of trophies, three championships, two League Cup titles, and then you have, three spells of Europa League and one Champions League spell. So, and in the center of that, I have been in all of those major things. So, of course, I have been a part of Midtjylland, and Midtjylland have been a part of me for many years. It's one of the top two clubs in Denmark the last 6 or 7 years. So it's been FC Copenhagen and FC Midtjylland who has been battling for the championship. So in that regards, I come from a winning culture. I come from mostly knowing how to win and to advance. So, of course, I've been brought up in that mentality. But I've also been in the club when I was younger. Came in as an 18-year-old where it was tougher times where we didn't win as much and when there was a bit of a turbulence. But we have changed that over the course of many years. And at the moment now, Midtjylland is in the first kind of a big struggle where the team didn't qualify for the top six, which is, that's something that's the club is not used to and something that is annoying, but sometimes football needs to be turned around before things can go again. So in that sense, a lot of experience, played over 325 games for Midtjylland, a goal-scoring centre-back, love to score a goal and set pieces or free kicks, so hopefully I can crack on and help the Dynamos too here.
Yeah, that jumped out in your resume and everything. 24 career goals, I think, if I'm correct here. That's a lot of goals for a center back. Are these via the air? Or are these direct offset pieces? How are you getting all these goals, Eric?
Mostly in the air with my headers, but I can score on left, I can score on right. When I was younger, came up to the academy, I was an offensive midfielder. And initially when I was younger, like first played football, I was a striker. So I always say that the striker gene is still there. That's why I love to score those goals. But mainly I need a clean sheet and defend. But on set pieces, I will be alert and be ready.
He's new Dynamo center back, Eric Sivatchenko. Did I pronounce that correctly, Eric? But you know what? Do all of us commentators a favor right now and pronounce your last name, which obviously is Ukrainian.
Yeah, it's Sviatchenko.
Sviatchenko.
Yeah, so it's right out of the highway. Sviatchenko.
Sviatchenko. So as we carry on here, it must have been tough to leave Midtjylland, right? I mean, with all this history, I mean, you were there as a young boy. I mean, it has to be pretty emotional, I would think.
It was, but on the contrary, I also left back in 2016 for my first big move to Celtic in Scotland, which was 2 years of really big success, where I first played my Champions League group stage, and we had a season where I played, I think, 80%, 75% of the games, where we were unbeaten for an entire season. So you call it like treble invincible. So you didn't even lose a game in three tournaments, which has only been done by Arsenal previous in 2004, I think. So that was, of course, a big experience. But that move, of course, helped me a lot. Then coming back to Denmark, staying there for almost 7 years with the success that we had. But I also had the urge to one day try to move abroad again and move on different arenas, and that's why it was always in the books that it might happen, because there had been offers previous, the last couple of transfer windows, but because we were doing really well at Midtjylland and the club had me as a captain, they didn't want to sell me, which was fine by me, and I was compensated really well, and we had some nicer success upon that missed transfer. But when this then came with Houston Dynamos, it was just a it was the right moment and right timing for the club and for me. Of course, I would have left the club in a perfect state, but that's life sometimes, that you cannot always leave at that moment where they are winning and winning championships. But it was tough. But again, I had prepared in some way in my mind. I always wake up thinking as a player who's playing internationally. And now this opportunity came with the MLS, which is something different, something else. But it's a league that's growing. It's players who's coming here. I have a former teammate, Evander, who moved to Portland Timbers for a big amount of money for a transfer fee. So it's a place where you actually see players not just coming in their later years, but they also come in their early years. So that makes it much more competitive. And I like competitive.
Eric Sviatchenko, and people are going to love hearing that word, that you like the competitive. I just want to take you back to Celtic before I take you into the Dynamo. So that's under Brendan Rodgers. That was a very important period for Celtic. What was it like playing under Brendan Rodgers? And I know for a fact, having a ton of friends that are big Celtic supporters, that you were a beloved figure there.
Yeah, but it was a really big experience for me. I connected with the club immediately from day one. I'm a character who wants to deliver my 100%, and I also believe if you deliver 100%, you'll get 10 times that amount back from the club and from the fans. And I did that, and also because we had the first 6 months was a bit more up and down with Ronnie Dela, who was also at New York winning the MLS. So, but there was a bit more turbulence under that 6 months. And then Brendan Rodgers came in with a really Premier League kind of mindset, and it changed the club 360. And from there on, we just won and won and won and played really well and scored a lot of goals. And it was a big experience to be under Brendan Rodgers. But of course, it was also annoying that at some point, he chose differently. I had played a lot of games, but suddenly I was out of the squad without an explanation. So it's annoying, but that's football sometimes. And I was just really happy for my 2 years that I'll reflect upon as two important years in my career.
Eric, how tough is it for a footballer you know, to all of a sudden just be out, but not really get some sort of an explanation, because we hear this, it happens a lot. It's part of the profession, but take me into that a little bit, because the understanding part of it, sometimes you can't really put your finger on.
No, it's true. It's a difficult spot to be in as a footballer, but it's also a spot that you will eventually be at, even though you want it or not. Because sometimes you can get into an injury, and you know, teams that are playing at the highest level, they always have competitors around you. So if you're out for a certain amount of spell, as I was, then it can change quickly, and then there's another one to grab that chance. And that's just football. But of course, it's mentally and it's physically annoying that you cannot go out and just show your best qualities. But if you do your best, then you stick your nose into the dirt, so to say, and just do your best, then at one point it will change. And that's what, I'm 31 now and I've experienced a lot. So whenever I talk with my younger teammates, they just need to acknowledge the fact that the chance will get there as long as you have a nice outgoing personality and you know you want to work hard. Then at some point the coach will see that and say, listen, the chance is there, and then you have to grab the chance. So in football, the chance will be there. Sometimes it will take it away from you, but it will come again.
Eric, is it important that you don't dwell on maybe not getting that answer and just say, look, I'm not going to get the answer. Just move on. Is that basically what you're kind of saying right now?
Sometimes if you're proactive, you can always seek an answer if you want that. Sometimes you don't want an answer because you don't want people to be honest. But I think it's a balance. If you need an explanation, go and get the explanation. Sometimes you won't get it. Sometimes you will get the air cleared and you can move on. But again, from my point of view, of course, it was annoying back at Celtic. But then I moved back to Midtjylland, and we also faced Celtic in the knockout phase of the Europa League. And we progressed over two legs. So that was my kind of telling the Celtic fans that, listen, I'm still here. I'm still playing football, and I just beat your asses. So it was a good experience that, and that closed a little bit my chapter at Celtic in a good way for my perspective.
Yeah, it was open ended up to that point, but then that kind of closed the Celtic chapter. Very interesting, Eric Svechenko, new Dynamo defender. Really looking forward to seeing you play. Look, you talk right now like a competitor, like a captain, like a leader. We know that's part of the reason why you've been brought here. How do you integrate the leadership style that you have into this team in such a short amount of time? How long does it take? And you know, how do you get in a new locker room? And, you know, they want you to be a leader, but you just can't come in there. And, there's got to be kind of a way to kind of move through this new navigation period.
Of course it is. And from my perspective, I just need to adapt, and as a person I'm really outgoing, and I like to lead by an example, so I always do my stuff 100%. I always take care of the younger boys and the veterans, as they call them out here. We have a good group where the level is really, really high. We have some language, different languages that is okay, because I'm used to that for several dressing rooms. That's not the issue. It's about those small interactions between each other. It could be just a joke. It could be a comment on something, you know, that you have that interaction with different cultures within a day that makes that group even better. But at the moment, when I step into the dressing room, I sense there's a good atmosphere. People are happy. People are good boys. So that's always a good step to come into. And then it's just I'm a verbal guy when I play football, so my communication has to be on the highest level whenever we play. And within that, they will have to see me, and then they will follow at one point. But now it's just about adapting and getting the full fitness that I need to adapt into the hot Houston weather, which will be even hotter at one point. And from there on, I'll just be myself, because I know that's more than enough. And then hopefully we can win and win and win and go to the playoffs, which is an important key for this team.
I sense through your voice you love this game. You just you just love the playing of this game.
Hell, I do. I've played a lot of games, and each game is still very, very very attractive and interesting. And also due to my experience, you see different things differently now in the age of 31 compared to when you were maybe 24 and moved to Glasgow. And that also helps me a lot to be at a place which is way different than it is in Europe. But I'd just like to see if I can grab things and bring them into my game. What do they do here that I haven't done, so I can get those percentages? So at the end of it, I'll be the best version of myself. And if I'm the best version, then I can start giving inspiration for the next guy. And then we have these rings spreading around. And then that makes hopefully a success coming from within each person that helps each other. And then it's about, of course, also the winning aspect of the games. When you win games, it's just much better.
Eric Svechenko, 2016-2017, a part of the Celtic team that won the domestic treble under Brendan Rodgers. What type of center back when you were young were you modeling yourself after? Were there any specific guys that you looked at? Baresi, Maldini? I don't know.
My father always used to tell, look at Franz Beckenbauer, but I wouldn't say I'm a Franz Beckenbauer at all type. I'm more of a Sergio Ramos kind of guy, I would say. I hate to compare players, but I like the way he is aggressive. He is forward-thinking. He's outgoing personality. So in that sense, I think he's good. John Terry, another top center back, where you have the defending as your key element of the game. But through the years, I've also put on different elements of playing and diagonals and deep balls. And I also like to play football if it's necessary. But first and foremost, I want to win games. And it doesn't really matter how we win them at my point, because I know at the end, whenever you lift the trophy, no one cares about how you've done it, because you have the trophy. But of course, you have to have tactics in football. But my style would be aggressive, would be winning duels, would be locking down things by communicating, pointing directions. So I'll be, whenever I'm on the game, that's where I communicate the most. And hopefully I can do that as well here.
Eric Svechenko, how much do you just love marking out a great attacking player out of the game? It's just simply that.
That's something I'd love as well. The duels within the game as well. You have a strike that you have to take care of. And that small mental game as well, where you need to find out his weak spots. Is he aggressive? Is he not aggressive? Do you need to go hard on him or not? And if you give him space, that happens within the game, but also prior to the game of analysis and things like that. So that's also a game that I love to win within the games. But I'm not a dirty player, so I do it on a regular basis. No trash talking for me.
Yeah, Danes are no. There's no dirty Dane players in the world anywhere. Of course not. We did see the generation gap here. I mentioned Maldini, and I mentioned Baresi, and you mentioned Terry and Sergio Ramos. So I just showed my hand there, a little bit of a generation difference, but all good players nonetheless. So your initial thoughts on seeing your first Dynamo game here, the victory in the last game over New York City FC?
I was really, really happy to see the performance. Of course, the win was important. Go back to back, two clean sheets. We had an info that hadn't happened since 2014. Back to back clean sheet with a win, so that was nice for the team to have that experience to put that label on. But especially I like the offensive part. The midfielders were circulating, playing good touches, small touches. So there's football in this team, and the pressure as well. How they were going high on New York, which was something that I like. It's something that we need to do in this team, which I was told as well. We want to be thinking forward, going aggressive. But in general, it was a good experience to have that, seeing it from the stadium. And then I'll just see whenever I'm be ready to play that what I can add to the team will be experience. And of course, will be the high level that I've played at in Europe has to come out here as well. Whenever I'm starting to get those physically adaptation as well.
Eric, of course, you know Hector Herrera played at Atletico Madrid, obviously with Mexico in World Cups. You've seen his delivery off set pieces. I got to think that there's a nice connection that could develop on set pieces between you and Hector.
Yeah, it's funny you mention it. After the game against New York, we chatted a little bit the first time I met the boys. And he said that I've watched videos of you scoring headers, and he said, I'll assist you. So I think the connection will be good. And if we could get some set piece goals as well, I just know how they can change games. And just for a fun fact, for instance, with Midtjylland back in 2018, I think 48 of the goals scored was on set pieces. And that's a lot. So it's just important for a team that wants to be good that you have the set piece as a weapon, both defensively as a solid one, but offensively that you can score. And will mean a lot in the end that they can give you the 3 points.
Eric, last one before I let you go, and I didn't want to let you go without reminding people you've represented Denmark internationally. You could have represented the Ukraine. October 2015, you're playing at Parken Stadium. You take on France. You score against France in a 2-1 loss. I have to think you're disappointed with the loss, obviously, but to score an international goal against France is a pretty big deal.
It was. I was, of course, annoyed by the loss, but we were losing 2-0. I came on late in the game with 25 minutes left, and I remember the goal. I was firstly winning the ball, then going a little bit back to my position, and then the ball came again. I had the ball, played the right back, he played me back, and I took like a nice touch within the pitch, and I was just about outside the box looking for Nicholas Bentner, as people maybe know. He wasn't ready for a cross, so I thought, I'll just shoot on goal. And then it just went directly to the corner. So people say it's a cross, and I can, of course, say that it was not a cross. It was a perfect finish into the top bin.
Of course you were going to goal. We know that. That nobody should question that. Eric, listen, welcome to Houston. Welcome to the Houston Dynamo. Thank you very much for coming on tonight. Really, really fun interview. And it's pretty obvious through this interview that you're a guy that's going to give heart and soul out there and just absolutely loves the competition in the game. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
So that was Eric Svechenko. Really looking forward to him here. And a big tip-off there to potentially him in the goal-scoring category off the set-piece delivery of Hector Herrera. But appreciate Eric there. Great, great interview. Really enjoyed doing that. We'll take a break now. We want to remind you about Danish Inspiration's Modern Contemporary Furniture, because that's the perfect segue after interviewing the Dane, Eric Svechenko. It is Danish Inspiration's Modern Contemporary Furniture, 2775 Fondren, best in modern contemporary furniture. This place has to be on your bucket list of modern contemporary furniture shopping. It is mine. I've got modern contemporary furniture in my house, most of my pieces. DanishInspirations.com. You'll check out the wide selection. You'll get the stressless line. It is the best in modern contemporary furniture. It is presented by the great Dane himself, Jan Christensen. DanishInspirations.com.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment of the night tonight on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Big thank you to all of you, by the way, for tuning in. Please hit me up on Instagram, at Glenn Davis Soc, at Soccer Matters GD. I vow now to post more over there. You're going to get a little bit more behind the scenes. I'm making an effort to do that now. I've been pushed to do that. I've accepted that. I want to get Soccer Matters out there in a bigger way. So please go to Instagram at Glenn Davis Soc, at Soccer Matters GD. Give us a follow. Get ready for lots of content, including a lot of stuff that has happened in the past that I think will be of interest to you. Now, there's a remarkable behind-the-scenes documentary series. It's called Real Madrid, quote, Until the End. Pablo Posada, Jesus Marcos, they are the two involved in this project. They have put it together, and they join me now. Well, Pablo Jesus, when did the idea kind of come for you to think about doing this documentary? We all know what a magical run it was for Real Madrid to win the Champions League title. But, you know, when did you decide, hey, this is a documentary we should do, we want to do?
Well, I would say the first one thinking about that was the club. So they wanted to make the documentary about last season's success. Got in touch with our production company, Wakai, and asked us for a proposal. We sent them the proposal, they liked it, and it was, okay, let's get to work. And we later on, Apple TV Plus got involved, so the series took a different story because it was going to be bigger. We started to work with all the footage Real Madrid had shot during the season, and we started to create the script coming from all that footage and the things that we thought that could add to those stories.
And also, we would like to add that that proposal was not only talking about the last season, because everybody knows the final result. We would like to incorporate some personal stories. We think that take this time to get the interviews of the players make us really happy, because with perspective they talk really different things. So that's one of the main points, because we want to transmit the essence of the last season, but at the same time it's not only for Real Madrid fans, it's for football lovers.
Yeah, well, it was that the season was amazing to watch in football terms, because it was an amazing story, great teams, best teams in Europe and also almost worldwide as well. But we wanted to focus on the people that made that possible.
It's Real Madrid. It's till the end. It's an amazing documentary. We're talking to Pablo Posado and Jesus Marcos. All right, you guys, you have to work together on this, right? Tell us a little bit about your relationship as, you know, producers, directors, writers, all the things that go into, you know, people can grab footage. It doesn't mean you're going to make a great documentary, right?
Yeah, well, as we were mentioning, first thing was, okay, we have to watch this ton of footage. And
I want to say that every single second of this footage that contains more than 100 hours have been watched for us and make a discussion to offer the best to the audience.
You said 100 or 1,000. I don't know how many, but there were a lot.
Yeah,
they were a lot, and many, many different situations. Yeah, we were through and discussed a lot about, we have to put that in, we have to keep that for later, we have to put some background to get that point understood by anyone. That was mainly the first thing we did, like trying to get the outline of the whole season. We were working with the Apple TV Plus creative team as well, together to coming down to how many episodes and how long. A kind of creative work at the very beginning was really, really exciting, because it was fresh. It was first time watching those moments that people is going to love these bites. It was all the time like that.
Let me remind people, it's Real Madrid. It's till the end. It's about the Champions League title run. Guys, this is about the run, the journey, right? Through the eyes of all these world-class soccer players, through Carlo Ancelotti, you know, the characters, the self-belief, the tension, everything that goes in to the run of winning a Champions League title. And of course, this was in 2021, 2022. What was it like dealing with Carlo Ancelotti?
Amazing. Carlo is...
because he's one of my favorites, and he also likes food. So I love Ancelotti.
I will say you cannot love him, because he's such a charismatic person. He's so easygoing. We were with him a couple of times, and it was easy in being in that kind of manager in these times where it's all about tactics and theories and all of that. And he keeps it very, very simple. Just you have to score. That's the thing.
That's it.
Makes it very likable for any footballer, for any fan, and for any viewer. I would say he might be one of the most lovable characters in football today.
Was it like talking to just a normal friend when you talk to Ancelotti? That's the sense I got. I read his biography.
Yes, absolutely. It's super easy. I think it's the main point of, to talk about him. It's how he leads the team. It's amazing when we were on the set and we were interviewing him. He came and immediately all the people felt really calm. Okay, let's go. Do you need anything extra? Do you have to take your time? No, I'm ready. I'm here to get the interview. So don't.
It's pretty straightforward. Like
yes.
It was Casemiro telling that story that and we kind of thought the same. Like, this is Carlo Ancelotti. He's a legend in football, from being a footballer himself and from being a manager. Let's see how he is. And he was the most excited person in the room. Like, yeah, let's do this, guys, because he was really, really happy of having the season they had last season. And Casemiro tell that the first time he came to training ground. So that's great things. I don't think anyone in the dressing room has any argument with him.
Real Madrid, till the end, it's Pablo Posada, Jesus Marcos. They created this piece, exclusive documentary. Real Madrid reaches out to you. That's pretty amazing in itself. What about something else funny behind the scenes with maybe, you know, one of the players that people know, maybe, you know, Luka Modric or Kroos or Benzema? Anything funny happened behind the scenes while doing this?
Well, you mean while we were shooting? It was all about, because we had to put the set in the training center, so to make it easy for them and to have a good environment, familiar environment for them. And we were placing everything out of place because that's what we do in film and television, that we move everything around in every place we get into. And they were saying, oh, this is not going there. Why are you putting that? Like, you're changing everything. That kind of easy talk that makes it even like they were kind of one more in the team. So
when you guys put this together, I mean, is it kind of like writing a song that, you know, one guy's doing the lyrics, one guy might be doing a little bit more of the, you know, the rhythm. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you guys might be the Jagger and Richards of documentaries. I don't know.
I wouldn't go that far. It's not big words, but yeah, I focus more on the story. Pablo maybe focus more on how to tell it and how to get sex things up. Like, but we discuss all the time. Like, he gets into the story. No, we should put that also. And I say, no, we have to put more rhythm in that bit. So it's always discussing every decision. Yeah.
We need extra 10 seconds to this sequence. Let's go to find it when we can cut 10 seconds.
That's not easy work. And that's, I think people forget, that's a lot of laborious hours and looking at things and the amount of effort you put into it's amazing. You know, we see a lot of these documentaries now with professional teams. I mean, is it almost essential? I mean, not everybody had the run of Real Madrid, granted, okay, because this is a story of the run, the journey, the tension, the remarkable results and goals and personalities. But is it something now that you guys notice in your business that a lot of professional football clubs are coming to you because this is a marketing tool also, right, for Real Madrid?
Yeah, I guess. I would say the important thing is always the story. And even though you want to sell the product, you need a story. And once the story is great, it's just get hands on it. I would say, yeah, there we are seeing more and more, but I think it's more related to there are more possibilities now, there are more platforms making content, and we can also, the clubs themselves are creating more content on the team. That's also good news for every fan.
Yeah, clubs are really more open and connected to the fans doing this kind of docu-series that I think it's really important, because you enter in the locker room, so you have different sound bites. I think it's easy to see how the team works in that way.
Yeah, I would say it's also good for the clubs building that community, like getting to know. Once I support this club, if I know more about them, if I know more about the boys,
you are going to understand more.
And yeah, most of the time, they are normal people, so you're going to love them more. That's the thing.
It's Real Madrid till the end. We're talking to producers, directors. They do it all. Pablo Posada and Jesus Marcos. Look, when I said a vehicle of promotion, I'm not sure Real Madrid needs much, but there are these smaller clubs like Wrexham and these things that have brought, you know, through documentaries and series, a lot of attention to their clubs. You know, you're going into sacred places in these locker rooms and areas. Did you ever have a moment where, you know, guys, you know, you got to kind of get out of here, this is a sacred moment? Or was it just pretty much open access for you?
Well, since our access was after the season, because we got those images and footage from Real Madrid, because they allow the crews, their own cameramen to get into the dressing room when they won. But for us, it was focused on working with the players and working with the coaching team. Yeah, the time we were there, it was everything open.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Any player in particular that you liked, you know, like in the vein of Ancelotti, that just had a really open personality? Were they all as engaged as Ancelotti? Because you guys know, much like me, when you do an interview, you know if the guy's really paying attention to you and involved in the interview or not. You can tell if it's going to be a good interview. Any players that particularly stuck out to you?
Yeah, I have one very clear because I love him already. So he's Luka Modric. He's such a nice guy, and he's been in football a lot of years, and he knows it, and he's very aware of everything. And when he was with us, was really, really like nice to us in every term. I would say you were saying before, we've been through many interviews. I would say Luka Modric has been like beyond that number. He's always like good talker. He likes to explain himself, and he told us very, very good moments in the series. I love the interview, and I love him.
Yeah, for me, Karim Benzema was incredible. When I was interviewing Karim on the set, I understand how he makes the hat trick twice, because he's I need to score. Yeah, I'm ready. I need to be close to the goalkeeper and try to. Yeah, it's my job. It's my work. It's the best thing that I do. And it's incredible. It's like, okay, yeah, let's go to. Yeah,
thinking as a forward. Imagine you're a forward and you talk to Karim Benzema, and Karim makes it very, very easy.
Very easy, no ego.
Yeah, you just have to score and you can do that. You have to trust yourself. And yeah, you say it because you're Karim Benzema. I'm no one.
Yeah.
As a forward, it's so frustrating. But yeah, he was also good.
So before I let you go, just, you know, explain to me what you want the audience to get out of this? I think football fans will know, but I want to hear it in your words, guys.
I would say Real Madrid and Chilean is a series that tells the story of a group of players that turns out to be a very close family, overcoming the most toughest of paths in sports. It's difficult to compare sports, but in football, last season was one of the most difficult, for sure. And this is the story of those guys.
I think it's the story of the best club in the world and the friends that are behind of the team. It's about relationship, friends, no egos, trust till the end, continue fighting when you came the difficulties. I think it's like for me it's touched me a lot, the story of this season. Not only talking about the extraordinary season, about the Champions League, about league. I feel really moved when you get the opportunity to understand that behind of Ballon d'Or, Karim Benzema, there is a quiet guy, easygoing guy, super friendly. It's this kind of things. Casemiro, it's incredible. You wouldn't believe me, but it's like we are talking. And we have a really good connection, Glenn. It's the same with them. It's amazing, really. It's.
Did it remind you of how, really, at the end of the day, we watch these guys in these magical moments in front of 90,000 people, but they're humans after all, right?
Absolutely agree with you on that. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, and you can see that on the series. You can see them through all those little moments and how they felt.
It's when Rodrigo is talking about Benzema, how he leads his career, and they were playing, and you know how 22 years old is watching Karim Benzema, and Karim Benzema is offering his movement. Okay, move there. It's like super beautiful. It's like a father and a son. You know, I think is this kind of essence is the best thing that you can see on the three episodes. This kind of, yeah.
No, continue.
No, I don't know how can I express in better way.
Personal relationships, the human nature of it all. You guys were in a place that nobody ever gets. It's a sacred area. Listen, guys, I know you're very busy. I want to thank you very much for giving us the time. By the way, we have Real Madrid supporters groups here in Houston, Texas, in the U.S., so they're going to be glad to hear this interview with you guys. It's Real Madrid till the end. It's Pablo Posada. It's Jesus Marcos. Gentlemen, great job. Thank you. And, you know, you may be Jagger and Richards. Don't underestimate yourself.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Glenn. It's a pleasure.
All right. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. We can't thank John Daspit and his firm enough for supporting the game of soccer. By the way, they are the best in the business when it comes to having a personal injury attorney. John and his firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. They're bringing you soccer coverage this show weekly. All right, big thank you to Andrew Carlson, Guillermo Lazo Romero. Remember the podcast of this show at ESPN975.com. I'll tell you again, please hit me up on Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock or at Soccer Matters GD. A lot of new content going to be coming out there. And until next Tuesday night, remember, soccer matters.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.